I'm now in the garden area of Goodwood, where the riders and drivers can relax away from all the noise and pomp that's going on here this weekend. And I've been joined by Nick Mason, the drummer of Pink Floyd. Nick, why do you think the Festival of Speed has endured?
Well, first of all, because Charles keeps developing it, so it never stands still. It's a bigger event. There are more. There's always a sort of changing galaxy of driver stars, you know, bringing in some of the Americans and the American cars, the NASCARs, things that we really never see in the UK, or very rarely. That's part of it, and it's a formula that really works. This is the opportunity where you can talk to the drivers, you can look at the cars, you can talk to the engineers, something that now is completely unheard of in a Grand Prix setting.
And I guess for someone like yourself, who's been a motorsport enthusiast for, well, pretty much all your life, yes, I guess coming to these sort of events, you're seeing drivers that maybe as a young man or a child, you probably only kind of saw or read about in magazines.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, of course, the ultimate hero is Stirling Moss, who's still here today. And just every time I see him or speak to him, it feels so important. It is, it's such a privilege, frankly.
Well, and it must be quite surreal as well, because you mentioned people like Stirling Moss, but of course you mentioned earlier the Americans, people like Richard Petty, who's obviously a legend in his own right back in America.
Absolutely. King Richard, as I think he was known. Fantastic. And I've met his son a few years ago, who's also a very talented NASCAR driver.
And as far as you're concerned this weekend, is it quite busy?
It's always busy, even if you're only driving one car, which I am. But we're still fielding another couple of cars. My wife and daughter are both driving. But it's always, you think, oh, well, there's not very much to do. But actually, there's, like all motorsport events, there's an awful lot of getting lined up and getting ready and waiting for someone to blow a whistle and usher you onto the track.
Yeah, I guess for a lot of people that don't really follow motorsport, they just think, oh, you just pop on some overalls, jump in the car, and that's it.
Yeah, nice idea. It is possible to do club racing on something like that, but the reality is there's always much more to it. There's scrutineering, the cars have to be inspected, there's usually some element of practice, practice times, there's usually driver's briefing. One of the great things about motorsport is it's incredibly safe in many ways because it's so carefully monitored. And, you know, people think of it as being this sort of risky business, but actually if you're going to take a risk, it's brilliant to have, you know, some of the best doctors within 30 seconds of you if something does go wrong.
You've got quite a collection of historic cars, haven't you? What would you say is your favourite?
Which of your children do you like the best? It's always a difficult one because there isn't a single car. I mean, I've got one Ferrari that makes me look like a Warren Buffett character for being so savvy to buy it, but I only bought it because I desperately wanted to race it. Then I've got a thing called a Birdcage Maserati that I believe is one of the best racing cars ever built. 1959, Stirling Moss drove Birdcages very successfully in period. And I've got a pre-war Aston Martin that I started racing in 1973 and have continued to race ever since.
So that has quite a fondness in your heart, as it was your first car, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And the family have all driven it and raced it and so on. So it's sort of a bit like having a dog that's actually lived for about 40 years.